have future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win. Woo!
Mystic Journey out of the top takes the lead. She is entering the main.
If I don't get the first leg, Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Two Units Podcast, Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning Stakes Weekend. Love this, really kick-starting the autumn this year as we're seeing some great runners come back to the track. And the man that's going to help me dissect all these races is the Sultan, formerly of Sydney, now of three states. G'day, Dave.
Sorry, didn't you get the memo? My name's not Dave or the Sultan anymore. I've legally changed my name. It's Jacques Kalos. So you can just refer to me as that moving forward, mate. It's actually Jacques Kalos. So, but, mate, I'm excited to be here. Geez, last week was good, wasn't it? Group one racing. It was a group one race, like, But, you know, it was a quality race. It was fast run, like the best horse won. It just got the blood flowing to all the right areas.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the Sultan's Palace today. I'm about to get a cold teaspoon out of the top drawer and apply it somewhere. But while I do that, we might head into the supper.
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
I told you we only need a teaspoon, not a tablespoon.
Yeah, get the bloody the big server out, will you? For the tip.
The salad tongs. supper time, celebrate great performances. And there's nothing I love more than a social media feud. And the thing I love most about them and my involvement is sitting back with a bag of popcorn, chucking the feet up, and just screenshotting things to group chats. They're the greatest. They're the greatest Twitter, Instagram.
It's a way of life.
It is. It is. And everyone listening here, take yourselves inside your phone right now. I bet you you're in minimum three group chats where you just screenshot things of other people.
And each and one, you've got different people that you rag on.
Yeah, and you're happy to see people fail, basically. You all suck. that's a nice segue into Mark Zara, who gets a seat at the supper this week, Salts. He was questioned by Leviathan owner John O'Neill for his ride on Bold Bastille in the Blue Diamond Preview, the Phillies race. And look, I've got no issues with people having a crack and firing up at jockeys or whoever in the industry. You know, when you've got skin in the game in particular, go nuts. But there's a couple of ways you need to go about it. You need to A, articulate your point really well, and B, make sure there's a point to articulate. And I think John missed the mark a little bit with this, but Mark Zara certainly didn't, because he was able to come back at John, who put out, let's say, in some colourful language that it wasn't a very good ride, front-running ride, thought he might have busted up the filly a little bit. But Mark Zara was pretty sharp with a couple of responses.
Yeah, he was. And I love a strong opinion as well. So it's good for the game for people to have those. But like you said, you've also got to have something to back up that opinion too. And she went forward Bold Bastille. She got ridden to her pattern. She didn't lead it at any frantic tempo. It was actually slower than benchmark. She had every chance. She was just underdone.
It was a length inside the class average to the 600. Well, the 21-1 shot sitting outside gave a pneumonia.
Yeah, so I don't think the ride's got anything to do with that. It's now that Mark come back at him, we'll get to what Mark said. He sort of, John O'Neill has said, oh, it's all good banter.
Oh, no, nah, it's not. You shot from the hip pocket and you got found out. But, yeah, Mark sent through some, you're very good at these too, the because you're not awfully strong on the Photoshop. You love a Snapchat.
So the worse the better,
Yeah, the worse the better. Yeah. So he's popped John O'Neill's head on Mark Zara riding without a fight, saying how many, you know, group ones have you ridden, or great to see the group one rider, something along those lines. And he's given him a solid pasting. So I love that. Mark Zara to the supper. And unfortunately, with Bold Bastille going down, Mark's going to have to ride Bodyguard now in the Blue Diamond. So, commiserations to Mark for that one.
That goal regulation size of what?
Oh, you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
I've seen those finger paintings you bring home and they suck!
I'll come!
P pack your nags time, or pack ya nags, we call it here, because we're
Australian. We're Jets. We're going to the Australian Jets.
Everyone's responsible for teaching the English language. And what are you sending packing?
Well, something that people might say is Australian, English as well, I guess, but we're at the pub Sunday. Now, there may be a time and a place where you can wear your cricket whites to the pub. If the pub's right next door to the oval you played cricket at and you wander over, okay, wander over in your whites. But we're there 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon and there's people there just wearing their cricket whites. Like, if you know that's going to – just take a change of clothes to cricket.
Mate.
We're not at a – we weren't – it's not – it wasn't like a traditional pub you'd think like people rock up in their cricket whites. Like, it was a nice beer garden, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Change your clothes.
And the flip side of that is, if you're there at 1 o'clock in the cricket whites, it's clearly it's a two-dayer. So you've gone into that day of cricket knowing you're about to clean these guys up, or you're about to be cleaned up. The game's clearly not going till six.
Yeah,
pack a change, bro.
Just pack a change.
Yeah, I'm with that.
That's all I ask. I saw people walking around. I thought, well, just who on earth do you think you are, Darren Lehman? Well, you're not, so get rid of them.
Yeah, there are a couple of buffheads there, though, if that's for sure. Hey, I've got nothing for packing nags this week.
Yeah, we're in good moods. We're here for the steward's room's packed.
Oh, that is very true, and it is a huge addition. It actually broke the internet, and we might head there now.
English literature, U.S. presidents, my wife the tramp, burning dog poo and the human response, reflections of society and literature.
Reflections of society and literature.
They're pouring in these at the steward's room this week. We've put out the tweet, put out the Instagram question, what are the most overused sayings in racing? And there was a groundswell.
I was a bit nervous to have to look through and wonder how many that I do myself. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, because when you have to talk a lot, you've got to fill some time and you might get a bit repetitive. But I'll kick it off with our great mate Beery out of Kembla Grange. Not sure what barriers started becoming sticky. Sticky barrier. I don't mind a sticky barrier, because it means that the horse might get in a sticky situation. Mm. Like that episode of South Park. That's what I call a sticky situation. So, no, I'm neither here nor there on the sticky. I don't mind a sticky barrier.
And it's
or sticky map.
Sticky is relative to the horse, isn't it? So you draw one as a back marker, it's sticky. You draw one as a leader, it's not sticky.
Yeah.
You draw 16 from the 1400 at Caulfield with speed engaged. Mm. It's a bit sticky. So I don't mind it. I'm not – Beery can get stuffed.
On you go. It's the bloody thing about sticky day pudding.
Jackson Oldham, Jacko, what's he got for us? He's got mostly – this – he's giving us a bit of context here. This is mostly said in the tipping space. Declaring a favourite hard to beat.
Yeah. You sort of just say that when you don't – when you can't think of a better way to surmise the race, I feel. But, yeah.
Hey, do you have
it gets used a lot.
Do you have any off the top of your head before we keep going through these, the listeners?
Yeah, one that I say a lot would be all honours. And now that I've brought it up, I've got to try not to say it. Like, I'll review a race on .com and I'll talk about the horse that I backed and the reasons why it didn't win and basically say that the horse should have won. And I go, oh, no, but all honest, a winner.
Or it's add balance to the conversation.
Yeah. So I'll say that a little bit.
Yeah. Weight stops trains. That's probably one that always comes to me. There's a few in the sales too, which we might get to a little bit later here. There's a lot of, I'm not sure if you've popped them in, but I'll come to that at the end if not. Benny Caluzzi, he's got here, when traders say smart money.
Before I knew who Felix was, when he first started with Sportsbet, he used to always say, the sharps have come late. And I remember thinking, oh, the hell is this guy? He's got to go. He keeps talking about the sharps.
I still think.
I've had enough.
I'm still firm in that camp.
Yeah. Hey, Louis Willoughby says, for mine, I don't like for mine. You give an opinion and say, this horse should be $2. For mine. Well, you've already given the opinion. I don't mind that.
Steve, Ace Previews, stepping out here, the tennis star, Steve. As someone outside the racing space, referring to a winner as a proper horse is the one that catches my eye every time.
I say that. I say that a bit.
You're proper horse.
Proper horse. Yeah. Just better than average.
I'm usually proper jet.
Better than average. Reece Stocks says, when people say they're not overly keen and say to tread lightly, and then bang, winners everywhere.
Oh, yeah. When people say they're not overly keen, I feel like a lot of tipsters say this, I'm not real keen, tread lightly, and then celebrate like they've won the Powerball when they get up. They try and have a little bit of their cake.
It's
and
a bit each way, isn't it?
It is. You can't just, if you're bowling into particularly something in the shorter bracket, I'd say, of odds, if you're going to tip something at 250 and say tread lightly.
Commit.
Get stuffed, man. Get stuffed. Michael Devlin, having the run of the race. So generally behind the leader and in high octane's case, never gets out from behind the leader.
Yeah, the run of the race is an interesting one because it's often referred to as leader's back. But for me, the run of the race changes depending on the way the race is being run.
Mm.
So high octane's case, when you've got a horse that's traveling well leading and one that's outside the leader that's going well and they haven't gone overly hard, well, you're going to find some bad luck, haven't you? Yeah. Run of the race isn't leaders back at Canterbury.
No, sitting in the box seat. No, you're in the bloody coffin.
Yeah, very true.
Yep. Sean Tumor.
Matuma.
When a short favourite narrowly gets in, you wouldn't want that one over again.
Yeah,
I'm guilty of that.
And
yeah.
It's kind of true because the sick feeling, you're like when it wins, you're not even happy. You're just like, oh, thank God that's over.
Oh, this one here's been sent in from David Strelaw.
No.
All on as the winner.
I already said that. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. That's top running for the prize pack.
Yeah, okay.
Roger Southwest.
Yep.
Sitting back smoking the pipe. Mm. I love that one.
Yeah.
Just sitting back, just watching it all unfold. Stuffing the pipe with a bit of wacky tobacco.
You'd have a big pipe too, I reckon.
Yeah, totally.
There he is. Intrepid Arts Australia. Geez, we've got a broad group of listeners here.
Shout out to the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Better than bank interest. Hate it. Not a bad call.
I've only ever said that being facetious.
I think I'm in the similar boat to you. I don't reckon I've been real serious when I've rolled this one out.
Liam Reese said this one. I'm guilty. I like this one. And I'm guilty of it on the reg, all dressed up and nowhere to go. Matty Hill says it a bit. So when a horse is completely bolting for a run, you know, they've had their pre-drinks, they've done their gym tan laundry, they've got that outfit on, they're waiting for their Uber, they're dressed up, but the Uber's running late. They can't get a run, man. Let him out, let him at him because he's just ready to explode. Jamie Lawrence says, we'll take our medicine and go back. So I guess a bit of a lack of intent.
Yeah.
Perhaps sort of strewn into that.
Oh, they had to take their medicine from that particular gate.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a few good sales ones as well that I think we see. I think we see a lot. Nikita Ross sent this one in on Insta. Cracking type. It's basically just any horse at the sales. It's anything at the sales that has four legs.
Yep.
Spot on. And the one, this one's for me. This is the person one I was thinking at the top is, he's going to be a, he or she is going to be an early two-year-old. Looks really forward. No, you just want people in your horse, mate. So, yeah, there are a few there.
There's one more that I didn't mind. Kennedy on Instagram, this was, says he's sick of hearing footy over the top because really it happened once.
Yeah, no
footy's
shit.
Footy's come over the top once.
Yeah.
So I'm sick of that one. I reckon I'd overuse that one. Hey, salty over the top though, that's a good one.
Do you have a winner?
What do you reckon?
There's a few I don't mind. I don't mind.
What about Steve? You know, he's come over from tennis.
Yeah.
He's outside the racing space and he's got involved.
True. And
proper horse. Proper horse. Gets said a lot. I say it a lot. I'm guilty of it. What does it mean? Just, you know, better than a maiden maybe.
You know what, Steve? Alcaraz is a proper tennis player. And I'm going to give Steve the gift pack.
Yeah.
Oh, I got that. Yeah.
All right. Into it, mate. Rep the units.
Yeah, love your work, Steve.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport, feel the excitement. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Salts, specs, time, and as always, this part of the show, Top Sport. We love them. Tristan Merlihan and the crew up there on the Gold Coast. They do a terrific job sponsoring us. We love them. Get behind them. Sign up. There's no real incentives in it for us at all. Just think they're great people. Love Tristan. That's about it.
Nice.
Might clock off now. mate, we got Randwick. We've got Flemington, which we'll obviously look up first. Headlined by the Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning Stakes down the straight. And, geez, we've seen some nice types return at Randwick as well, aren't we, a little bit later?
Nice types was in that was one of those.
Seen some proper horses.
Yeah, yeah. We've got some two-year-olds going around at Flemington as well.
Precocious types, which you rolled out at Sandown.
Yeah,
Sandown.
But that was
piss take.
I know, piss take.
I could tell.
Yeah. Flemington, though, we'll start on. Back to HQ. Rail True, good for weather in Melbourne's been magnificent this week. Now, the Rail True at Flemington, a higher percentage of backmarkers win than on paces, but there is a bit of a southerly on Saturday.
15 to 25K.
Yeah, not significant, but if it does kick up, the southerly is what impacted Cup Week when it played on speed. So I feel like if that southerly is there, perhaps it just evens things up a little bit. Oh, but I've set up for a fair track.
Yeah, I've set up for a fair track. And let's hope we get one because it was plus 9 metres last meeting at Flemington and it was a severe bias for those on the rail.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Let's go to race two, though, to kick things off, mate. And it is a benchmark 70 and it is a straight race, 1,100 metres.
Yeah, I like plus fours here, Phil Stokes. Now, Damien Lade rode Wigham last start and he rode plus fours at Pakenham. Damien Lane rides plus fours on Saturday. Now, they dropped her in grade and trip last start at Pakenham. She was dominant. Now, she found the right race. She was $1.24 fair income, but it was a hand canter. She ran the fastest closing sections of the day. I liked that that was out of the chute at Pakenham, so now she can come to the straight and change her legs accordingly at Flemington. And at around that $6.50 mark, I think she's a decent bet in what looks an open enough race.
Yeah, plus fours in race number two. There are $6 at the moment, Saltzy. You'll get on Top Sport for plus fours. Let's head to race four now, mate, which is a benchmark 84 over 1,600 metres. It's a mile race, Saltzy. What do you like here?
Yeah, there's a couple of intriguing gallopers. There's one for Kieran Maher that's first up on Australian debut and also one for Chris Waller.
Yeah, the Chris Waller runner up and under looks interesting around that $6 quote. And then obviously the Kieran Maher runner as well. You're looking at Circle of Fire, who's love favourite around $4.
Yeah, look, I thought that Circle of Fire was short enough inside barrier. Was climbing all over heels at a Caulfield jump out. That'd be tricky, that inside draw. I've sided with the one for Chris Waller up and under. The jump outs have been excellent at Flemington, goes straight to 1,600 metres, was tried in a Group 1 Irish Derby, now finished 10 lengths down the track, but went around at $1.50 when he broke his maiden in Ireland over 1,800 metres before coming over. And I've just loved the way that he's moved at the jump outs. And I'll have a little nibble on him, the six up and under.
Up and under indeed, yeah, $6, Saltzy. Let's move on to race five now, which is the Group 3 Tressidy Stakes for the fillies and mares, set weights and penalties, 1,400 metres. Nice addition of the race. One of ours returns here for the Salmon Wild Camp. We love Wishlaw Lass.
Yeah, Footlaw Lass. We'll both have her. Yeah. I reckon you might have backed her a couple more times than me.
It's our combined.
It's Footlaw.
Reece Goodwin on layback today called her my horse wife.
Yeah. Oh, you're a big fan. Well, anything that wears pink from the Simon Wild stable, you'd fanicum boff.
Yeah, I know. Can't believe I didn't back Aurora Symphony in the Hobart Cup. What an idiot.
Yeah, you backed something that was running in the bush. And yeah. Anyway, I didn't tell you that at the time.
No, I knew.
Come forth. Yeah. But she's the best horse in the race, Wishlaw Lass. And she's still on the up. She's still, you know, she kicked off in a benchmark race at the midweek's last preparation before going to the new level. She makes her own luck up on speed. I think she probably lead. For Damien Lane, there's not a stack of tempo in the race, so that might rule out or make it difficult for a couple of up-and-comers who are going to settle back in the speed. And we know she's tough, we know she's hard to get past, and she couldn't have tried any better at Geelong. So it's pretty simple for me. On a day where I haven't unloaded on anything at Flemington, I thought she'd one of the better bets on the program.
I'm with you. Makes her own luck on speed. She's tough as nails. Like, think of the day we're at Caulfield Guineas where Parvis Fox had her on toast.
Oh, it was just some of the greatest dopamine of all time.
Wasn't
ended
it
up
ever.
Going out. I was still celebrating that later that night.
Yeah, I went out too with you, didn't I? Yeah. That was good, yeah. Anyway, trial excellent as well. Lane 2 from 2 on board. I just think she's the best horse in the race. I don't want to make Eternal Flame a loser as well because I really like what she did. I know it was only benchmark like 70, but that was a fast run race. She was cast three wide, no cover, and still ran away from him through the line. Think she's got some upside as well, Eternal Flame, but Wishlaw last main bet and just something small for a small return on Eternal Flame.
Yeah, that was very meritorious, that win, Eternal Flame. And the runner-up, Vasilia, well, was it one of the biggest tragedies beaten in the history of racing last night at Sandown. I say that because it was my best bet. I can't believe they took a sit on that. But, yeah, she was good. She's horribly weighted at set weights and penalties, but you've got to have a throw at the stumps at some stage.
Yeah, no doubt. Race number six, it's named after you. It's the Vanity. It's a Group 3 for the three-year-old fillies, set weights and penalties, 1,400 metres.
I'm a bathroom sink.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Mate, I like the seven here, an up-and-comer for the Hayes Camp Donegal. Look, Molly Nickers, first up, decent spell. Good horse, was good in the Group 1 Flight Stakes. Not Flight Stakes?
Yep.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, yeah, it was? Fifth in the Flight Stakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fourth. Ran on hard, whatever, Tropical Squall, Komochi, good form. The jump outs down the back of Pack, and I've absolutely had enough of them. I can't tell how she's worked. Unless something scoots out in front, you don't know how they've worked.
I had this exact conversation about this exact runner today. But I thought,
I'm like a broken record, but they've got to go.
I thought she looked unfit.
Yeah?
I'm calling it. She was Molly Nickers.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't like a jump out. I made her a lay today.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't make it out that well, but...
She was getting asked and was making ground.
The camp are very hard to read at the jump out.
She was making no ground on those 2 litres in that jump out, and she was being asked. I think she's underdone. I think she's a good horse, but I think she needs the run.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I like Donegal because she's had the run under the belt at 1,400 metres, first up at Sandown. Or might have been just short of that, whatever. But she's had the run, and she's also been back to the jump out since. She cruised around, but kept her up to the mark. I think a big track, drawing out, and 1,400 metres, they're all positive. She's two from two. She's reeled off some of the fastest close of the day in both runs to date. There's a bit to like here.
I'm in full agreeance. The way that she was last at the 400, first up, Sandown, 1,300 metres, and she got through a gear. It was soft. But the wind was actually soft, and then the data's supported it as being one of the better closing splits of the day.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, there's plenty more improvement to come up in trip. Couldn't agree more with Flemington, so Donegal for me as well.
Yeah, double whammy. Get on, Footlaw, bloody giddy up after the six. Hey, the seventh is a fascinating event. The CS Hayes is always a great race.
It's my most race I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, key lead-in, the Alligator Blood and...
Catalyst.
Yeah, Catalyst. That's one of... That was such a good race to watch. Watch, I turned in that sideways, helped my sister move to uni in Bendigo, and I was absolutely frothing. I didn't even have a bet. So it's a three-year-old. It's for the Colton Gelding set weights and penalties, key Australian Guineas lead-in. Jeez, it's a good race. There's some lightly raced operators, and you're going to side with one of them.
Yeah, Otago. Mm. Oh, I've made it pretty clear that I want to be with
him. He's a footer.
He's foot. It doesn't even make sense. He's my... I'm not even in the Oz Guineas as well, like in the futures market. So, look, I think he's got this raw ability where you look at his last start at Flemington and he did so much wrong and the race still rated incredibly well. So I'm just waiting for when he actually does things right. And he even had this little tick over... jump out in between, and he'll still want to lean his head in. And I noticed they put the bubble cheeker near side on as well to maybe straighten him up a little bit there, just tinkering with the gear. And look, Bo Mertens is obviously out injured after that horrific fall at Stony Creek, but she's not getting Ben Mellum in the saddle at all. So, he's someone I want to be with.
Yeah, he's a horse from his debut I wanted to follow. That, for me, just seeing him get his head on the side in the jump out, it was a very nice jump out as well. When he asked him to extend, it was very lovely work. I just felt like, he did it on raw ability last start and it was good on the clock and that, but margins and stuff. Now he's up against better horses. If he did something wrong at the jump out, now he's still doing something wrong again. So I've got him on top, but just because of that was happening at the jump outs, I've I've not bet, but he's on top, so tread lightly. If he wins, I'll bang it.
Seriously. Oh, he just wants to go fast.
He just wants to
smash.
There's another horse in the race that wants to go fast that couldn't last start because he blew the start.
Mate, he's this guy 7 day backup. I speak of Hey Fat Cat. His steward's report's 7,000 word essay with Harvard referencing. So, but the gist of it is that he just didn't jump well and it cost him the race. And I don't mind this 7 day backup, race fitness on his side, goes forward, hoping he goes forward in a race relatively void of speed. So, he's the fit horse, $11. So I'm going to play small on him as well.
He does have a good setup to back up 7 days because it's deeper into a preparation. So he's got the fitness to handle it. But also he's a horse where last night his query was 1,400 metres because he does a lot wrong in the mounting yard. He uses a lot of his energy before the race. So maybe a 7 day backup can just sort of flush that out. And, you know, he might be one to keep an eye on from the parade ring. If he's doing everything right, then he could be able to go full, give him something to catch. So two bet play for footy in the seventh, which is the CS Hayes. The eighth on the program is the feature, the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes. Wait for age, 1,000 metres. What's your take on the race? Are you keen to have a bet?
We'll get to that. It's in a sec. The race in itself, it's just come up on face value. Like, geez, it's come up light. Then you look through recent editions of the race and most of them are pretty light in terms of numbers. Mm. But it's so intriguing. Imperatriz is obviously the key to whether you want to have a bet or not, right? Like, let's just face it.
Yeah.
You're backing Imperatriz or you're specking around, obviously. But I don't have the confidence to get involved with her being so short. And this is obviously a pissing contest play as well, so I'm keen to get your thoughts on this. I haven't stayed up and lost sleep over it, but I'm just doing my head in this Monday gallop at the Valley by Imperatriz. So she had this lazy trial at Cranbourne. Mm-hmm. Let's call it a relaxed trial, whatever. She wasn't switched on. She wasn't herself. But now the stable have taken her out to the Valley on Monday and she's had a track gallop with Sans Dude and it was a nice piece of work. And it's almost like, hey girl, this is where you made a mess of everyone over spring.
Yeah.
Sharpen up. So like in terms of the nuance and that ability for a trainer to take their horse out there, is she just going to be the best sprinter in the world and come out and make a complete and utter fool of us? I don't know. I find it. And at $1.70, $1.80, whatever she's at the moment.
Yeah, I think she's sort of touching $1.95 now.
Yeah, now this is the thing. Now it's getting into the territory. It's like, shoes.
I've got a number in my head.
$2 Imperatriz, wouldn't mind a bet. What's your number?
I've got a number in my head and it's $2.40.
Okay.
I do not expect it to touch that though because the way that late betting is, it's not on has something had a flat jump out because it was a hot day the day before a couple of weeks ago. That's on numbers. And her numbers are just she's just the best horse in the race by a significant margin.
Mm.
And if she runs to her recent numbers, she'll win. And because those numbers are so consistent and there for all to see, ranging from 1,000 to 1,200 metres last prep, that I'd be significantly surprised if she got to 240. But that's my number because when she was $2.10 in the champion sprint, when she had all the numbers to back her up, she was deep into her preparation, hard fit, running these sizzling sectionals and flying. I was happy to take that as one of the bets of the spring.
Mm.
Now, the margin of that wasn't impressive, but the win was impressive because she worked up on a fast tempo, faced the breeze. But there's just too much uncertainty around the trial and, you know, it's 25 to dive into even money. So I'm happy to just watch some really fast horses go around and see how it unfolds, see how I Am Unstoppable comes back. He jumped out really well. So it's just a watch race for me, mate.
If I was to say Imperatriz out, like where would you be going? Because even from and these straight races are always challenging to map in some respects in a smaller field here. How would you, the race is still even hard to read if it was Imperatriz
out. It's a great call because how well has I Am Unstoppable come back? New peak in the Coolmore, set to go to a new level, jumped out, it's fantastic. Jamie Carr, great reports. Bellany Patina, good horse. Private Eye.
Bombproof.
Trialing without his blinkers. 4 from 7 first up. I got sucked in to Bivouac one day though, first up in a Lightning.
Mm.
Courses for course. I know he's versatile, Private Eye, but 1,000 metres different. It's a different story to 12, 13. He's even extended to 16 to 2,000 in the past. Not anymore, but It's a sharp. I reckon it's too sharp for him. But you know, he's $5 and he's a bloody good horse. So yeah, it's even it's a fascinating race.
Even Cylinder, 1.2 lengths off Think About It in Everest, and you got to put a line through the only straight track. Into the prep. You know, and jump out was good.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he reaches great heights this preparation, Cylinder.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him at the upper echelon.
So basically we're shouldering arms by the sounds of that from a pissing contest point of view. It'll be interesting to see what Beery does. We're both on negative $50 at the moment after Ayrton ran fourth. I have to be dead to be stiff with a 1 by 9, I'll tell you. Hey, I hope just as a bit of there's no interest like self-interest, another great saying just in general. I'm hoping that I Am Unstoppable can just savage the line but not win because I've got those Newmarket futures. He's got 50 at the moment and he'll cop a pretty significant penalty if he wins this heading into a Newmarket. So go I Am Unstoppable to savage and hit a place. That's where I'm at. Randwick time, mate.
Now I've got one more at Flemington, the last, the 10th. A good roughie, Aaron Bay. It's a benchmark 84 over 1,400 metres. Went up a big price, had a bit of support. Luckless first up, last preparation, 1 second up. Bit of running line cover, jump out. Down the back at Pakenham, mind you, I could see this one.
Really?
It was good. They must, around some good horses.
They must have had
it. It was only a small field.
iPhone 7 instead of three. Yeah.
It was only a small field. Aaron Bay in the last, a roughie to round out the program at Flemington.
Jeez, big price. Open something like $26.
Yeah, 40,
41, 34. 41? Yeah. Ooh, okay. We'll go to Randwick now off the back of that. And the rail's in 4 meter position and it's going to be pretty good, I think. There's a bit of showers around today, isn't there?
Nah, there's rain tomorrow, mate. Okay. Yeah, 0 to 15 tomorrow. So how much of that hits is going to have a significant impact. Not much race day, 0 to 1. But yeah, the eyes will be on tomorrow. It could be anywhere from a 4 to maybe a 6. It played off fence last week quite significantly, rail true. So they move it out another 4. But if it does get a bit of rain, they'll probably get off the fence again.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start off in race 2. One of these midways that you love, a benchmark 72 midway, and you like one here for David Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Mad Darcy. It's unusual for a horse at start 19 to resume with such a big new peak. Like she'd been going around okay, you know, just running sort of benchmark 64 competitive figures, but when she won first up in a 64, it was dominant and it was backed up on the clock. She ran the fastest close of the day there. The wind was soft. The overall time was fast. She just might be back a new horse. And when I see horses do that, what I like to do is go back and watch their trials leading into that and say, hey, were they showing anything at the trials from previous trials to say, hey, this horse might be new and improved? And for me, I thought that she did. So if I'm going to price her off her last start, for me, she's sub $5 and they put up around $8. I was happy to take that. I think now she's probably sitting around that $5.50, $6.
Yeah,
and
she's $8 into $5.50.
Yeah, so she'll be flushing late, Mad Darcy. Look out for her down on a light weight.
Yeah, she's mad, that bloody Darcy. Race 4, benchmark 88. And a bit of wind chat here, mate. You like, for again, another combination, David Pfeiffer and Jay Ford Falcon.
Yeah, the Ford Falcon.
You're going the Pfeiffer Ford double.
Yeah, well, wind chat should be giving these wind burn from the front. They might not see which way he went. He's a group horse, this guy. What he did last start, he resumed with a monster new peak. He's completely smashed the clock. Under 60 kilos on the Kenzo, the fastest of 4 12-50-meter races on the day by a significant margin.
It was a nice win. It was like a 5-lengther.
Yeah, and he won running away too. Mm. Strong late. Got a bit key middle stages. Hopefully that's out of his legs, but he'll press forward again. If something wants to kick up underneath, I think he can just take a trail with that light weight. And it wasn't a fluke. It was a big new peak, his first up run. But he also had numbers from last preparation that would be competitive in this as well. So he's a talented horse. And, you know, they put up north of even money. I thought that was wrong.
Mm. Well, it is because it's into $1.85 most places. So Top Sport, sorry. shout out to our friends there. Perfect. Wind chat, race 4, number 8 for you. Hey, one of the feature on the card is the race number 7, the Group 2 Apollo Stakes. Run under weight for age conditions. Nice addition of the race again. Lots of...
some familiar faces.
Well, they're all first up. Every runner in the field's first up. So I call this the fan, the form analyst nightmare.
I thought you were going to say the fangirl.
Yeah, well, she's not a form analyst nightmare. She's actually really, she's one of mine. I love fangirl.
Yeah.
But look, does she deserve favouritism, or are you going to bet around her?
I've looked to the stable mate, Lindemann. He needs to go to a new level. He's shown good ability in the past, of course. He's a Group 1 winner, over 2,000 metres. But he resumes gelded. He did a bit wrong last preparation, so they bit the bullet and gelded him. And Chris Waller, three trials, that's a significant lead. And they often float around out the back of the trials. Waller horses, don't worry about that in his recent trial. He stalked Attractable, who's in this race, and got fitness on side. Attractable was jumping out, went forward, ran really slick time for 1,000 metres. Lindemann sat off it and walked past it in first gear, whereas Attractable was getting the ears scrubbed off. It looks a very similar race shape on the weekend. Attractable will go forward, try and use the fitness. Lindemann stalks first up gelded off some nice trials. And, you know, you've got Fangirl's going to get back. Think it over, will get a nice run. He's a good horse.
He's not improving anymore, though.
Nah,
is he?
Nah.
He doesn't have to win this, though. He doesn't. And he's a first up beast. So, yeah.
But I just thought around that sort of $9, $10, Lindemann resuming gelded, if he can just go to a new level, find a length and a half on his previous best, he'd win the race.
I feel like I'd like this to happen, not just for you, but for the weight for age stocks as well, for someone to just sort of burst on the scene and make it a little, throw their hat in the ring to make it a bit more interesting. So yeah. You've got the likes of Fangirl and obviously Mr. Brightside is not here, but these types of middle distance runners. Militarizes the other one, the three-year-old colt that's obviously going to be open to more improvement through some of those same races as Fangirl, i.e. the Cox Plate. The one for me, I'm not having a bet, but the big watch for me is going to be on Buckaroo as well after having that.
I had some interest in him. Yeah. I thought his jump out was...
It was okay. Yeah. It's his third career start in Australia, but it's the first time he's gone through the whole preparation process with Chris Waller since switching from O'Brien. Yeah. So, interesting to see he comes back. I'm staying out of the race, but I like where your thinking is around Lindemann at $9 on Top Sport.
Yeah, lovely. And the next race on the program is race 8. It's a Group 2 for the 3-year-old fillies, the Fish Fingers Stakes. you don't mind one here first up. Does that narrow it down for everyone?
Do you like fish sticks?
Yes.
That's fair. You're a gay fish. that's so dumb. Yeah, I like one at a price here. This is a terrific race. The great addition.
This is fan. This is form analyst night.
Yeah, I know it is. It is. But we've both gone full fan because we've gone for something at a price.
Yeah, fan.
So yeah. We're not going the hot pot straight up with all first up and some unknowns.
It's gutsy from us.
Yeah, it's gutsy. Yeah. basically, we're not treading lightly.
Yeah.
I'm siding in the Light Fingers with Autumn Ballet at around $15. And I want to preface this, Saltz. I do not think she's the best horse in the race or going to be. There's some absolute guns in here, the likes of Tis Invincible, Learning to Fly, Arctic Glamour. I'm keen to see what she does this preparation. But what I will say is fresh is best for her. She's from the Waterhouse Botyard. Last time in, she won the Group 2 Silver Shadow. That was first up, career peak figure. Draws one. Adam Hieronymus will be the clear leader of the race. There's a lot of things to like about Autumn Ballet at $15 and, has been asked for a little bit of an effort in recent trials. So I think could be more forward than this and get some black type to her name. It's me.
That's cool, mate.
I was hoping you'd chime in.
I couldn't have less than an opinion on the race.
I gathered that, the radio silence. And now I've just got to quickly find our stinger. Unit. Well, he returns. Luke the Gong from Dandenong. He is back for another week as Unit of the Week because he was with another wheel last week at Caulfield and he got the chocolates.
Impressive win.
It was. And let's see what he's got in store for us on the soundboard this week.
Hey, fellas, after getting gonged last week, I took it really personally and thought I'd keep this one nice and short and sweet as that's your preference. But anyway, got a better winning percentage rate than the Sultan at the moment. So That's going to back us up into the second outing of my unit of the week. This week we are going back to headquarters Flemington, race 9, number 12, Jimmy Star. Self-explanatory, best horse in the race, and just wins this. I'm not going to give you an explanation because that's not what the boys want. So yeah, load up, don't be silly, gamble responsibly.
He's a bit dirty on us.
Load up, gamble responsibly.
If he didn't spend the first 30 seconds talking about how Affinity was about being gonged, he could have told us why he's the best horse in the race.
Yeah, I know.
It'll win. It wins. It's one out in the quarter if you've ever seen it.
It's $1.50. We're getting a better price. Race day?
Doubtful.
Yeah.
Pretty doubtful. Yeah. But he's played it safe. And you know what? Some people might mock him, but the other people that get on and have their $100 on something that's $25, it's the likelihood's against you. You're trying to hit the jackpot. You know, when Jimmy Star wins, we send a little bit of money to Racing Hearts.
That's true.
Yeah.
Would you say he's treading lightly or not?
No, he's not. No, he's declared it.
Yeah, he declared it.
Yeah, he's got every right to celebrate.
Well there's no coming back if it loses, so good on him. Hey, 2 units time, best bets from around Australia. And we've covered all our tips today, so we'll just go back across who our best bets are. You can kick off.
Yeah, race 4 at Randwick, Winchat, he won't be beaten.
Yep. And I'm race 5. My best play is in the Tressity Stakes at Flemington. Wishlaw Lass, best bet, but still not losing on Eternal Flame. So it's a best play for me. I've never had one of those on this show.
That's out of my playbook.
It is. It's a salt. Nice. That's having your cake and eating it too. That's what they call that. Yeah, thanks, bro.
That's not me at the moment, mate.
Are you off to the track this week?
Nah, I'm not. Working Sunday. Saturday, I'll just chill out, watch the races.
Beautiful.
Take it easy. Have a couple of tinnies, Melbourne tinnies.
Really? Yeah. You're back on it?
I'm back, mate. I'm back. I'm engaged. I'm engaging all aspects of my life for fun and happiness.
And I'm witnessing it firsthand here on the 2 Unit Podcast.
this is my song.
That is.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah. The Sultan of Swing. All right. See you, Salts. See you, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. Next week. See you later.
Step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound. Way on down south. We are